to a distant country, the Bible said, and scattered all his estate on with loose living. And then a point in time, the consequences began to show. Famine came, and then he became very poor. And at a point in time, verse 17, he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, the Bible says, he asked himself, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, and I'm dying here with hunger? Listen to this. He said, I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, I have sinned against heaven, Father, and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. Now, what I want to bring out for you is this. When the brother came and was talking to the father in verse 29, okay, now, verse 32. He said, the young man was complaining about the fact that his father had spent so much trying to entertain this young guy who went to waste his resources. He now came to him, verse 32. He said, we had to celebrate, notice this, and rejoice. For this brother of yours was dead. And I like New American standard here. He said he was dead and has begun to live, was lost and has been found. Now, get my point? He said he has begun to live. What am I saying? That this is the only time I remember right now that Jesus said somebody was dead is now alive again. Do you understand my point? And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born a second time? What am I saying? What it means to be born again is simple. The man who was dead in walking away from the Lord, he's now back to walking in the light of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, to be born again does not, look, it's not the concept, it's not just to answer an altar call. That is the beginning. Remember, he said, the man has begun to live. He said, I will go back to my father. Get my point. He now understood what it meant to be a son of his father. Before, he thought, being a son is I can do anything I like. I have everything at my beck and call. But the father understood. The brother told the father that all these days I have served you and have never disobeyed any of your commands. That's what it means to be a true son. A son that serves the father. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, the entrance into the kingdom of God is simple. Remember we said Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. He said, come, house of Jacob, let us return to the house of our father. Let us say to him, we have sinned and have departed from walking in your ways. What he was saying, in effect, is that. He said, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Because they are filled with influences from the east. And they are soothsayers like the Philistines. Now, get the point I'm making all of this as I'm saying. Now, if you're talking about the kingdom of God, any man walking in the kingdom of God is somebody who has, he has returned from thinking his own thoughts. Are you getting my point? He has desisted from walking in his own ways, especially the ways dictated by the world around him. Now, I hope my theological foundation is clear. All right. Now, let me go very practical so that I can close on time. Now, there is an issue in the world today, especially if you're in Nigeria, for example. You know, I'm trying to get a story to use to connect what I want to say. Some time ago, there was one young man in my house, and you know, one thing is very common with young men. They hop from job to job. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, you have a degree in computer science, electronic engineering, or whatever, and then Glo or V-Mobile employs you. And then you wake up one day, after V-Mobile has finished training you, spending their energy, everything, MTN now offers double their pay. Do you understand? With utter disregard to the person who has invested money in your training, you just jump up one day, boom, you are an MTN. Now, in the world today, I hope you know it is all right. There's nothing wrong with it. I've talked to people, they said that is the only way to move forward. Do you understand the point I'm making? Let me tell you something about the kingdom of God. Jesus said it is harder for a rich man, sorry, for a camel. How do I say it now? It is harder. How does it go? It is easier, thank you, for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I hope you are getting my point. What I want to say to you is this. He said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few are those that walk in it. He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many they are that find that walk in it. He said, few are those that find the narrow one. What am I saying? When everybody is doing something, that is a non-sign to you, for you, that it is wrong. Very likely. Let me tell you something about the kingdom of God. A man has to wake up every day and make up his mind not to be polluted with the influences from the East. And believe me what I'm saying, every time it costs you something. You know, the other day, the was telling me he wanted to take a job somewhere. They said they were going to bond him for 2 years, and it took some time to make up his mind. But one thing he knew, and I knew instantly, is that once you sign that bond, if Man U, as a football club, decides that you are the one that will be their team manager and they will pay you $1 million a month, as long as 2 years is not over, you can't pull out. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes. Now, with the world, no, it does not matter. No, it doesn't matter. You sign a contract today, you just throw it away. Total disregard to the agreement you enter with a man, and then you jump to another place. I'm coming to a point, all of this I'm saying, that is the love of money is pushing everybody up and down so that they enter into covenants. Get my point? They sign agreements. They swear to their own heart and they change rapidly. And the Bible said the one that we are sending to God's holy mountain is the one that swears to his own heart and does not change. Filled with influences from the East, I'm explaining that to be born again actually means that no matter what the people around say, once it is not the counsel of God, I will consciously go to my Father and say, I will not walk in the ways of the world. You know, every day, you know, you heard me, I always use, there are a few things I use as example. Two things. Money. Number two, people tell me that they want to have 2 children. And I always tell you that. For me, you know why I always use as an example? It's one area that have challenged Christians a lot. All right? And they have nothing to tell me. More than things are tight. Medical science says it is dangerous. And I say, but God said it is blessed. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm not talking about children right now, but I'm trying to emphasize something to you. Look, a lot of things I used to tell my wife, like I told you before, she learned a lot of things from me after we got married, even before then. And so many things I would say, we sound so out of, like, what are you saying? But that is the kingdom of God. Are you getting me? That everybody is wrong. It's their problem. I'm not judging whether they are wrong or right. But I'm just show me whether what I'm saying is not what God says. To enter into God's kingdom is, listen to me, is like my Bible says, this man was dead, has begun to live. He has made up his mind to live. Every day challenges will come where he needs to rededicate his life to his Father again. So he doesn't follow the influences from the East. I hope you are following me in all these things that I'm saying. That is, when we are talking about entering God's kingdom, it is not exactly easy. Today I was coming from, I didn't sleep in Enugu overnight. I came from Asaba this morning. So when I was coming, I got to a checkpoint. One Federal Highway Patrol checkpoint. The man decided I should park. I mean, it doesn't even worry me. I parked. Hello, sir. Can I see your boots? I opened my boot. It was as empty as could be. Then he saw the sticker all over my car, the way of success. So that brought discussion. What is the way of success? I said, tune in 8:30 on Mondays. Cosmo FM. You can receive it from here. So we're talking. Are you a doctor? Yes. You know, our discussion kept this. He now saw association. He said, you will form association. He said, it's only police. I said, how can police form association? That you are in the force. If you form association, it's called mutiny. He said, you see, discussion started. Then the man, one of them, he told me something. He said he's been in the police for 24 years, that his salary is not up to 14,000 naira a month. I had driven up before I remember to check his rank, but I think he's a sergeant. In today's Nigeria, at 14,000 naira a month, a man who's worked for 24 years is not 24 years old. You can be sure of that. So he has children who are going to secondary schools, possibly university, and he's being paid 14,000 naira a month. Now, why am I telling this story? This is the kingdom of God. The Bible says, be content with your wages. 14,000 a month is very bad, isn't it?
It is.
But in the kingdom of God, it's just too bad. The commandment is what? Be content with your wages. That is, before men, it is justification to obtain money on the roads, to try to take money from the innocent. Before your colleagues, it is justification. You sit down every day explaining to yourselves why. But the Bible said, they came to John and said, what must we do? He said, don't take money by force from anybody and be content with your wages. What does that tell you? They were also poorly paid. Have you ever told a banker, be content with your wages? I will tell the manager in MTN, be content with your wages. You go to Shell and go and tell their group MD, be content with your wages. He's already content with his wages. Do you know, I kept on calculating as I was coming back. That an average small boy in MTN collects 10 times that man's salary. And you give the man a gun and tell him to mount the checkpoint. And the same boys want to be driving past there without dropping Roger. They are not serious. But that is what men say. God said, this is the test of the man who wants to enter the kingdom. Listen, my pastor in Lagos told a story once when he was talking about submission to authority. He told a story that up till that time, you know, I learn every day. Up till that time, I would not have agreed that that made sense. He was saying that a young woman shouldn't marry without her father's consent. I had had experiences of people who their parents were, I don't want to say unreasonable. They were, what word is worse than unreasonable? No, let me give you an example. Can you imagine that you want to marry now? Eh? And your mother said that the DBA said that the girl is not good. Now, you're a man of God. You understand how unreasonable? No, that's not unreasonable. That is, you know, which, how do I describe it? If she said to you, I don't like the girl, you know it's all right. But to tell you that the DBA told her, that's an insult. You, man of God, a juju man is prophesying concerning your marriage. Now, I've had situations like that, something similar. And say you are a man, so that was not even a problem. Now, this was a lady, you know, stuff like that. So I went up to my pastor and told him that, listen, what you have said, I understood you. But what about the situation? I narrated this kind of situation to him. He thought for a while and said, was Pharaoh being reasonable when he refused the Israelites to go? I said, no. He said, then why didn't God take them out by force? He said he had to get the word from the mouth of Pharaoh, let my people go. That they were under the authority of Pharaoh. Pharaoh had to let them go. That God used all methods, but Pharaoh had to let them go. God did everything he had to do, but Pharaoh had to let them go. Then he now told me his own story. I thought I had a story. He said he knew a lady. He wanted to marry a brother. Sister, won't marry bro. Then papa said, nothing for bro. Year one, the man said no. But the girl understood certain principles. Second year, Papa said no. Third year, fourth year, fifth year. When I was telling the story, of course, my eye was getting wider too. Like, eh? Pastor, you can't be serious about what you're telling me. So in the seventh year, one day out of desperation, she prayed and said, God, I am tired. What do I do? that the suddenly the Holy Spirit told her, go and tell your father that whatever you say now at this point is final. But I will never marry without your consent. So she went to her father and knelt down and said, I want to talk to you. You know this matter? The father said, yes. I just want you to know that I have waited this long. You have refused to change your mind. If you keep refusing, I will never dream about not marrying with your consent. So tell me, what do I do now? Because if whatever you say now, I take it. If you say you are not marrying the man, then I take it as the final word. And she meant it. 7 years waiting. As soon as she finished saying that, said the father looked at her and said, go and bring him. Choose a date. 7 years. Ah, it's not funny. But this is not why I'm telling you this story. Let me come to the reason why I told this story. He made a statement which has not left me forever. And you heard me preach about it again and again. He said, everybody will get a major test in life. That was her own major test. Do you understand what I'm saying? That this, you see, this convenient Christianity, they have told you it doesn't matter how you dress, how you behave. If you look, it doesn't mean anything. Just come to church. As long as you are showing our numbers, it's why church is getting full. Most people who come there are not born again. You understand what I'm saying now? So it's not a matter of who wants to answer altar call. That's not what we're saying. Yes, answer the altar call. You have begun to leave. Every day, challenges will come. You will be a policeman. They will pay you 6,000 naira a month. And there they are. Your colleagues are going home daily with 2,000 naira extra every day. But you will say like Daniel, I will not defile myself with money that's not my wages. Do you understand my point? You've heard me say it before. God needs a reason to bless somebody. That man, as I was about to drive away, he said, look, this one you are saying, I'm nearing retirement. I began to preach the gospel of the kingdom to them. That the time will come, I said, that's what I teach on this way of success. That there's a period, I told him stories that, look, I started as a resident on 5,000 naira a month. He looked at me that, are you serious? His colleague said, yes. His colleague testified that when I started residency, I was being paid 5,000 naira a month. I told him scenarios. I was saying to him that, look, listen, when God looks at your hardship, a time will come that he will respond. Initially, they thought I was talking about heaven. I said, no, I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about earth. Then he reminded me that he's near retirement. Then before I drove off, I said, what you don't enjoy, your children will. I told him, there are seeds you sow, and it's only your children that can enjoy the harvest. Do you get the point I'm making? We are talking about, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 2. He was talking about influences from the east. Look at what influences from the east produce for them. Their land has also been filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. The men who were pursuing the influences from the east were pursuing it for gain. People who walk away from the principles of God, they are also pursuing it for gain. And listen, the devil that wants to take away your destiny, to prevent you from entering the kingdom, he too will offer you something. You think he's not wise? When he wanted to put Jesus away, what did he tell him? Look at all these kingdoms and the glory, they are mine. I'll give it to you. But God said, I have forsaken, I have abandoned my people because they are filled with influences from the east. Yes, I know it's producing money for them. Take ministry, for example. When you look, if you hear things that go on in the ministry of the word of God, your ear will tingle. My friend Ken Kata, the daddy, told me about his experience in Lagos. He came to see me. He said he was planning to come and ask me, what is going on? Are these people preaching the same gospel? When Paul told you about merchandising the word of God, he wasn't joking. That people's gods are their bellies. He was talking about gospel preachers. I've told you that I don't trust any man that tells him that God tells me God has called him to be raising money. The only thing I know about money from the scriptures is that you should be careful about it. From the testimony of Jesus, he said, beware of covetousness. From the testimony of Kenneth Hagin, he said, Jesus told him, be careful about money. Listen, this is how a man enters into the kingdom. That's why I say narrow. You know what I mean by narrow? When Jesus was talking, he wasn't saying that the road is very small and not many people can walk in it. No. That is tight. You need to squeeze through it. It's uncomfortable. The one that leads to life is very, very difficult at the beginning. The seed that produces sweet fruit later is sown in bitterness. Believe me what I'm saying. Talking about entering the kingdom of God, that is what it means. Men have to wake up and divorce themselves from the influences from the East. Every day people do things that are not the will of God. And they know it's recorded. It's recorded. It's not sweet. That's just the way the word of God is. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. If it were sweet, everybody would do it also. That's why Jesus said, narrow is that one that leads to life. And those that find it are few. I already said that the country is full of Christians. Yeah, the country is getting worse. I said country is full of those that go to church. That's all. Most of them do businesses like unbelievers. If you tell them this is a straight way to do business, they will tell you that you have to be wise. Why? Because it does not make money. But see where we read, they fill their land with gold by being attached to the influences from the world. That, look, oh, you should get the message I preached in church last Sunday. You should. Myself, I listened to the message after. I said, no, this was anointed. No, I'll try and convert, because the machine I use for converting to MP3s is a bit faulty in the house, but when I do, I'll prepare it so we can get it both on CD and on tape. To me, it's a very serious message. People have to understand it. I told people the truth. That some of you are in school. You didn't pass WAEC. You know the way to the kingdom for such people? You better withdraw from that course. If you leave that school with that certificate, you have failed for life. Do you understand my point?
Yes, yes.
Somebody wrote the WAEC with which you enter school. Entering the kingdom, you think it is simple? A man came to Jesus Christ and said, everybody I've ever defrauded, I will return his money. Anyone, he said, I will refund, he had this thing, I will refund them double. After everything, Jesus said, you have entered the kingdom. No, he said, it's not far. Didn't say you had entered. He said, it's not far. You are very close at this point. There's one more thing you need to do. Whatever is left, I'm adding my own to it now. You understand my point? He says, sell all that you have and give to the poor. Then come and follow me. The man shook his head. Then Jesus says, see how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Think of what I'm saying is simple. Listen, what's his name? You know, I said earlier that anytime the kingdom is present, power is there. John G. Lake gave a testimony of their life in South Africa. In a few years, they recorded over 100,000 healings. This man and his friends will minister, and a whole village will be delivered from an epidemic in an instant. Are you getting my point? Power was so present that one of their third generation ministers, that is, he trained Elias Letuaba, one of the boys that came from Elias Letuaba's spiritual offspring, was so anointed that when he's tired, he will sit on a piece of rock and go away. They will be putting the sick on that piece of rock. They will be getting healed. John G. Lake said, such power, how did it come? The man, people suspect, but the testimony is clear that he was a very rich man those days. But those days, they suspected he had up to $1 million. Now, I'm talking about if it's today, he would have been worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Yet one day, he said God called him to ministry. He took all that he had, sold all that he had, and gave to the poor. So much that to ferry himself and his wife to South Africa, he had to pray for God to send money. Then he described how those men will go to preach in jungles with nothing but their bare feet for covering for their feet. You know what I'm saying? That when aid, ministry aid was withdrawn, they said we stayed there and die if necessary. And several of them died in the process. He said that was what begat power in that place. That men did not love their lives to death. You understand what it means to be born again? That was what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Except a man has his hard disk formatted and reprogrammed with God's operating system, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's a kingdom in every area. There is kingdom in marriage. There is kingdom in business. There is kingdom in everything that you do. When Daniel and his friends were entering into Babylon, they first stepped into the kingdom before they entered into Babylon. So they carried God's kingdom into Babylon. That was why all their enemies met destruction. But it was not easy. They bring food, the boys refused to eat. Get my point? They were young boys with hormones running even to the strands of hair on their head. Yet, all the wild parties in Babylon, you could not entice them to attend one. I hope you are following the point I'm making. Listen, that was all they did. They didn't try to influence Nebuchadnezzar. Stop doing ministry that's not your own. Righteous men sometimes hide in caves. Is that not what the Bible says? If you're not Elijah, what's your problem with Ahab? Do you get my point? If you go and confront Ahab, he will just shoot you for nothing. Ahab is not your problem. God's problem is you. You understand my point? How is your own personal life? How is it? These boys went to Babylon and refused to be defiled. Do you get me? That was the kingdom being born in them. Then that kingdom ruled over all without their trying. It is us that read the testimony of Daniel now, because it was recorded for our learning. When the testimony was being engineered, the man did not know he would be 10 times better. He was just 10 times better. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He was not planning to be 10 times better, but the kingdom indeed always rules over all. So he was 10 times better. You know, Daniel never prayed to interpret dreams. Ah, Father God, if we can interpret the dream, the land will be changed. You know, we will give testimony. Now, prayer is even getting easier for me. I feel like telling God, if you don't want, don't do. Say, God, since it's your business, it doesn't concern me. I'm telling you. Because the men who made the greatest landmarks, they were even trying to dodge. Moses, you will go and deliver who? You know I can't speak. He said, okay, Aaron will speak for you. Okay, when Aaron has finished speaking, who will I say sent me? Excuse upon excuse. Yet God said he was the meekest man on the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying, all of these things? They were not trying to affect anybody. They were just trying to please God. Joseph, you think Joseph, his dream, we are the one that think, you know, I told you that we analyze too much. Joseph kept his dream constantly in front of him. It's a lie. The man forgot the dream. He was more impressed with the fact that he was in prison. Do you understand my point? That was the temporal problem. You are the one worried about the throne. He didn't say he would become great. It was his brothers that said he would become great. No, go and listen to it now. He said, my brothers, you've been a junior boy. He said, Egbons, I dreamt this morning. You know. He said, what did you dream? I dreamt that we were going to the field. After, you know, very funny dream. Do you know all kinds of sheep? They were just falling. But my own did not fall. The brothers were the ones that interpreted the dream. Then the father did too, interpreted. Then Joseph said, I won't dream again. The last dream I dreamt, you know where he landed me? Inside Koto. Then into slavery. You are the one that thinks he was keeping his dream in front of him. He didn't know what it meant. You have to understand that. Even if he knew he'd be a ruler in Egypt, like he wasn't thinking about that. His father was a Fulani headsman. You didn't know his father was a Fulani man. You know what I'm saying? Yes. A caricature from. He didn't build a house. They were building houses and pyramids in Egypt when those guys were living in tents. There were civilizations when Abraham and Co. were living in tents. You don't know? They were building pyramids in Egypt when the boys were living in tents. Job was the greatest man, yes, in the east. If you had gone to the west, that time you would have seen that the guy was a small man. You understand what I'm saying?
They were counting sheep. As M.K. Abiola would have bought 5,000 times the amount of sheep that Job had. What am I saying? Even if he was dreaming of being big, it's like his father. Are you getting me? When he got to the Potiphar's house, the guy was tired, man. Ah, boys, I don't become slave now. But inside him was the kingdom. He did what he needed to do. Then one day, iniquity was presented before him. And he said, how shall I do this and run away from destiny? No, he said, and sin against God. That's what he said. God said, the kingdom is inside you. You think he woke up confessing? Amen. Shalagala bolo bolo bolo. I shall be the head. I shall be the tail. Rubbish and nonsense. Believe me what I'm saying. The guy was busy serving food and helping those who needed help. The night before he became prime minister, he slept the same kind of sleep he slept the week before. There was no warning that you shall be prime minister. He was just sitting down and they had probably heard chariots arrive. And this is quite a number of chariots for this day. Then they just came in. Joseph, come here. He didn't have a choice as to whether he would agree or not. He was a prisoner, a convicted slave. What more bondage does a man wish for in life or dread in life more than being a convicted slave? If you are a convict, you are in trouble. If you are a slave, you are in trouble. Now you are a slave and a convict. Thank you. Double jeopardy. According to fella, double wahala for dead body. They are carrying dead body inside a house and the motor can't get accident. You're following me, what I'm saying? When they say, shave your beard and wear these clothes, nobody was explaining anything to him. Follow us. Where are we going? Our guy wants to see you. I said it was not me. Mrs. Potiphar lied. I swear to God, she lied. Do you think they explained to him? They just got there. Pharaoh said, are you the one? Sir. Are you the one that interprets dreams? Sir. Oh, yeah, that one. Interpretation is with God. I'm just a servant. You are following my story. 1 hour after, he had been conferred with the throne, prime minister in Egypt. Then he remembered the dream. Are you hearing me? Then he remembered the dream. Maybe not even then. Until his brothers came and bowed down. Then the dream clicked. That's when I see poor brother Jay, I won't mention his name, who are analyzing the events of the end of the world, predicting it ahead of time. I'm watching them on television. I just smile. I tell my wife, you see all these things? It's confusion. They are lying. Gog is Iraq. Magog is Russia. They keep on... I just be looking. You know what I'm saying? The prophecies of God, you can never predict them ahead. It is when they have been interpreted, you will look back. When they have been fulfilled, you will look back and say that it might be fulfilled that which was written. So when I see on TV, Iraq will join up with Iran and form an alliance with Russia. You know, Russia, they will soon be frustrated. Don't worry. Russia will soon Russia will soon become one of the most vibrant democracies and exporters of gospel. Then the prophecies will be frustrated. Then they will stop reprinting the books because the books will be full of shame that these men lied. They've said Russia is all lie. You know where that Russia thing came from? Because that was the seat of communism. Jesus said, of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, there shall be no end. No, Russia is now being converted. Then they moved it to, Iraq. Now that they have pocketed Saddam, they are shifting it to North Korea. You see prophecy jumping up and down. It's confusion. The truth is that what will happen is one day you will say that it might be fulfilled, that which was written. What am I saying? Your job is to be born again in every sphere. You can't operate marriage the way it is customary in your place. That is not being born again. That is being filled with influences from your village. It's true. You can't do business the way it is done in your ancestors' place. That is being filled with influences from your place. Are you getting the point I'm making? There is a concept. One day I was in church.
Talking about marriage, you know, we had a kind of talk time. I was like a coordinator of the talk show in church. And so, but that always gave me opportunity to talk. And I explained something to them. That I don't have 5 kobo that my wife not only knows about, but cannot lay claim to also. There's none. Doesn't exist. Not 5 kobo. When my wife resigned her job and to become, like someone, one of her friends said, a domestic engineer. Some people say, how can? I said, you see, for them, it was hard. I said, but for my wife, she never saw it as a loss of income because she never had any income. Are you getting my point? For us, it was, for us, a reduction in income. It was not a loss of income. Do you follow my point? She didn't have 1 naira less the day after she resigned than she used to have. It's just the whole family will restructure. So after I explained some things, some people came to me after. He said, you know, Pastor Banky, my father used to say, in my mind, influences from your father. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, my father said that the reason... That's why the guy was touching me that day. I'm not joking. He was touching me. That, you see, he used to do this to his mother because there's always this reserve. When he finished, I said, okay. In my mind, this is your father. I mean, I'm telling you what God said. You are telling me about your father. The two of them shall become one flesh. He said the greatest thing a man has or a woman has is what? His flesh. You never read it? Was that not what God and Satan agreed on concerning Job? No, go and read the story of Job. They took Job's goods. Then Satan came and God said, see, Job didn't deny me. He said, skin for skin. Any man will give anything to preserve his flesh. Is that not what God and Satan agreed on? And God said, it is true. Now, God now told a man and a woman that your flesh does not belong to you, but it belongs to your spouse. That is, your flesh, which is the most precious physical thing you have, belongs to your spouse. How much more your cash? Which God and Satan agreed is inferior to your flesh. The two, he said, shall be one flesh. According to Bishop Oyedepo, a man you can give your body to, you can't give your money, makes you a harlot. You cannot get the power of God in your home practicing marriage as it is in your place. That's what is called influences from the East. Because of time, I'd like to end. But bear in mind, that's just one example. When you are doing business, look, you know, even people realize that maximizing profit is not good. It kills the company ultimately. When I was in secondary school, the principle of entrepreneurship was maximize profit. They don't say that anymore. What do they say now? Optimize profit. They will soon get to what God is saying. We say it is more blessed to give than to receive. Give and it shall be given unto you. Bill Gates may not have preached it, but he practiced it. I don't have time to explain it. Men who have become greatest in life, they said, they were always trying to give. Influences from the East is the reason why the kingdom is not manifested in different areas. Anywhere the kingdom is manifested, what happens is that the woman automatically takes charge in that area of life. His life becomes a reference point. I have not finished my message, but we will close. Then I'll continue last time, because what I have done today is just to explain what it means to be born again. You understand what I mean? But the mechanism by which a man begins to live, we'll examine that next time. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you. It's been such a good day.